You want to turn these lights down just a tad, if it's okay? I need to put my hat on or sunglasses up here. Thanks. Let's pray for the message and see if the Lord will speak to us. Lord, I ask that you give me clarity of thought and clear tongue for this message, and as we look at one of your psalms. And I ask that you would speak to each of us concerning our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The message today is about the 23rd Psalm, which is we have printed in your bulletin. And I also want to tell you about a dream that I had 25 years ago in the midst of this thing. Psalm 23, let's read the whole thing together, and then we'll walk through it a bit. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this is a psalm that most everybody's heard, and I use it a lot of times at gravesides, at funerals. But there's strength and encouragement in this psalm, which has carried people through many situations and crises over the centuries. It's a psalm that is God's statement of his presence in our struggles. And just as God spoke to Joshua and said, "You be strong and courageous," this psalm is an affirmation of strength and encouragement. The psalm is loved not only because of its poetic beauty, its quality and literary style, but it has a lot of stuff in it if you actually take a couple minutes to look at it. It's terribly realistic. It also speaks about life's struggles and tough times. And I want to just walk through this psalm and let us receive its message from God. Once again, I want to be the lens which the focus of the message of this psalm and the message of God for us this day. This psalm shows us at least 9 different expressions of the Lord's actions towards his children, those who name the name of Jesus as Savior and Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In those verses, we see the Lord's leadership coupled with his personal care for each of us, leading us where we need to go, and caring for us as the good shepherd. He restores my soul. We see the redemptive recovery work that he works in our lives. He restores our lives, our spirits, our very being at times. Restoration, refreshment, renewal, recovery, and redemption. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Once again, we see his leadership for his people. He does right by his people if we live correctly. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And here we see the Lord's presence. Even in the darkest times, he is guaranteeing his presence with us in those dark times. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we see the Lord's authority, his strength, his power, coupled with his tenderness, and they are in balance, if you think. The rod that fends off an assailing creature coming against the lamb or the sheep, and the staff, which is an instrument not just of only of protection, but also of rescue and reaching out and guidance It draws the sheep back, keeps them in the flock. It restrains tenderly, leads the young lambs. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's a picture of the Lord providing sustenance and nourishment in this life. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. The Lord transmits his authority to us through the work of his Spirit, because the oil really represents his Spirit. He provides sustenance, nourishment for us spiritually as well as physically. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord is not only an awesome God of power, but he is the Lord who is sensitive to us, who is good to us, and sensitive to our needs during this life. But not only is it in this life, but in eternity as well. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, those who name the name of Jesus as their Savior and Lord, who is the Good Shepherd, have eternal life after this life. Now, you can walk through each of these attributes, actually, I could wax eloquently on them. But today I want to be a lens, which kind of focuses on three words in the midst of this psalm about a good shepherd. All the still waters and the green pastures and provision for this life and eternal life. And that speaks to the reality of life. As I said, this psalm actually packs a great deal of power. But I want to look at three words in the midst of the beauty. They are evil, death, and enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear the evil that surrounds me. And the Lord prepares a table of nourishment in the presence of my enemies. Evil, the sinister presence of evil that not only seeks to assail us from our environments, but also the evil that seeks to rise within us sometimes as well with a tempting force. Evil. More than just human sin. Evil. Death. The death that stalks us for a lifetime. The death that not only seeks to take our life in the physiological sense, but seeks to quench our life at every point. Emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, in relationships, in families, in job situations, in our personal hopes, our dreams, in all things, death seeks to squeeze the joy out of life. Death. And enemies. And who among us doesn't have them? If you don't have any earthly enemies, then you certainly have enemies in the invisible realm around you. Whether you know it or not, or even acknowledge it or not, doesn't really matter. There is a work of demonic activity around us everywhere, and it seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. I have this passage in John chapter 10 printed here, and I'd like for us to read it together. Here we go. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It talks about Jesus as being the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. But right couched in this piece of scripture here is the teaching that he says that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And you need to mark that in your understanding that when Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd, it is in the context of showing us who the thief is, what we are surrounded by, evil, death, enemies. It's the Good Shepherd who will lead us and care for us and protect us, which brings me to a living word for today, along with the scriptural biblical revelation of truth. It's also personal, it's pastoral, and it's an exhortation. On July 23rd, 1990, I had a dream. At 3 in the morning, it woke me up. And I was in the midst. Now, you have to understand, this is 25 years ago, and I, myself and a group of people were in the midst of that year writing the Great Banquet and putting it together. On July 23rd, 1990, I was awakened. And this is what I saw in this dream. There were two people that I knew in this dream. There was a guy that I was a friend of mine. He was a deacon down in the church in Kentucky I was at. But we were pretty good friends. And we had a relationship that was a little bit connected. I don't know how else to describe that. It was more than just him being a member of the church or an officer in the church. We'd been involved in some ministries and some things together that had been there for a number of years. Anyway, his name was Willie, and he was in this dream with me. Now, you can place yourself in this dream as either myself or Willie, because the message of the dream is for those of us who hear it. It also, as I said, we were in the process of writing the Great Banquet at that time, and those of you who've been to it know that on Friday night there is a prayer time after the fifth talk, and we walk through the 23rd Psalm, and we have a prayer time with Jesus in the midst of it. Out of that, this dream I had on July 23rd, 1990, came also that meditation and dream and prayer time. This is the dream. I was standing about 10 feet from a table, like one of those tables that's out there in the atrium, one of those long rectangular tables. Not a large table. A table, I guess they're 3x7 or 3x8 feet long. There was a person that was sitting on the other side of this table from me with food spread before him. And at first, this person sitting at the table was nobody in particular, but it could have been anybody. It could have been you, for that matter. But then the recognition came to me that I saw Willie sitting at the table across from me. And suddenly there appeared at either end of these tables a person. One was a beautiful woman, and the other was a handsome man, and they were dressed in formal wear. Willie reached to take something to eat, and the two people began to shape change right there in front of me. The woman became some evil scorpion-like creature with a poisonous tail. And the name of that creature I knew was Torment. The man changed into a skeletal person, and death was written upon his forehead. And these were the enemies that I saw, and they were Willie's enemies. Now, the reason I thought that, at least at that point in time, is my friend Willie had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he had been fighting it for quite some time. So it doesn't surprise me that that happened. But when I saw this scene, my heart leaped within me, you might say, and I drew a long sword, which I did not know I had until I did it. You know how dreams are. I backed up a foot from the table, and I turned away from the table, and behind me was a wall, and on that wall was a wall-sized mirror. But in the mirror, things were reversed, and instead of my friend Willie sitting there at the table, I was sitting at the table with these creatures, and my friend Willie was the one looking at me with a sword in his hand. I turned quickly back the other way, and the scene was as I first saw it. I really wanted to scream, Willie, get up, get out of there, throw that table over, get away from it. These creatures are not good. I sensed at the same time that Willie was wanting to scream at me to do the same in the mirror behind me. And we were both sitting at the table in the presence of our enemies. Now, you know how fast a dream sequence can shift and how fast the human mind can work. So I want you to realize that what I'm telling you happened almost instantaneously in that waking moment in the middle of the night. At the same time that this was happening, the Lord Jesus stepped up behind Willie and poured a small pitcher of oil on him. The same thing was happening to me in the mirror. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there. And the words flashed across the screen of my mind, in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. I have set a meal before you, and the Lord is pouring oil over me. The words of the 23rd Psalm came to my mind. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, when something like this happens to you, if you've ever had dreams that really come alive to you, it kind of gets your attention. I'm a firm believer in dreams being both prophetic and word of knowledge and also leading us through some of the things of our life. So I went to see Willie the next day and talked to him about this. And it wasn't too long after that Willie died. Anyway, what does all this mean? This is what I think it means. And when we worked on the meditation for Friday night on the Great Banquet, this dream was the catalyst or the workings behind what we did in terms of putting that meditation together. Psalm 23 is a biblical revelation for all of us as we come to the Lord's Supper today. And all I'm giving you is a lens through which to see it. Psalm 23 is not just poetic beauty. It's not just a literary masterpiece, but is God's revelation for us, especially for us when we seek it. When we come to the Lord's table today, we need to remember that this is not a flight from reality of the world around us. When we come to church and we experience the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we're not running away from the world out there. When we come to the Lord's table, it is not an escape from the world in this sanctuary setting. The Lord's table is set before us in the presence of our enemies. Evil, death, enemies. And Jesus comes and says to us, I spread this banquet of my body and my blood in the middle of your enemies to force their retreat and to show you the anointing of my spirit. I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sake of the sheep. I am your good shepherd, is what Jesus says. And the Lord Jesus says, this is my table, and whatever your circumstance, I set this table before you in the presence of your enemies. And by simply eating, you will drive out death and crush the scorpion beneath your feet. But we need to appropriate the meal. You see, the enemy really does wish to drive us from the table. He seeks to startle us into flight, as I remembered in that dream. That was the first thing that I thought of. You got to get out of here. And he will seek to separate us from the body of Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, take what I spread before you and receive it into your life. So I ask you in the name of Jesus who sets this table before us in the presence of our enemies. What is the adversary seeking to take from you? Your health, your strength, maybe blessings of your life? What part of God's purpose and peace is he seeking to steal from you? What is the adversary seeking to destroy in your life? And Jesus comes this day and he sets this table before you in the presence of that and says, I will anoint your head with oil, your cup will overflow. The idea of the cup here is more than just a vessel to hold wine. It has to do with a vessel of your life, which holds the destiny of who you are and what you are to be in this life. This cup is the forecast of a person's life. What God has written for you and has ordained to overflow from you in fulfilled purpose. These creatures that I saw in the dream were there to frighten me and Willie and you away from the table, to keep us from partaking from his table. The call on us today is to come to the Lord's table and to recognize in whatever situation we may face right now that the Lord Jesus is saying, I've spread this table before you and you are to come even in the presence of your enemies and receive the anointing of my Spirit into your life. So let us come today to the Lord's table. And even though you may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, because God is with you. His rod, his staff will comfort you. Your Lord has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And he anoints your head with oil. He pours out his authority upon you. He has promised that goodness and mercy shall follow you, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Now that was a word that was given to me 25 years ago at 3 a.m. on the 23rd of July in 1990. And I think that it may be given to someone here today as a focal point for you. I don't know. This word is given to us, each of us, as a sign of God's presence with us today. And I believe that the word of the Lord today is that we are to come to this table, not to be intimidated or frightened by whatever seeks to intrude on the peace of our lives or to steal our joy, but to come with him and sit with him in the presence of our enemies and to put our feet under the Lord's table, which he has prepared for us.